We are the most distinct of all races. We are not even of the human race, let alone Europeans. We are utterly unique. Our features only blend with humans. Our facial features and proportions infinitely more perfect. We are Anunnakim and Nephilim, and our DNA is of the gods. We cannot be defeated by Gentiles any more than humans can be by other animals.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. That was Dustin Nemos. And I gotta tell you, I have goosebumps. This one's titled Maui Mountain Dews, Deep State, and the Devil. I'm sure by now you've all heard the hit song, The Absolute Smash by Oliver Anthony, Rich Men North of Richmond. An instant smash hit because he's telling the truth from the heart. And at this point, we are all fed up. From coast to coast, black, white, and everyone in between is sick and tired of the deep state, the hypocrites, and the children of darkness. And believe me, we get into that as well. Thank you so very much for tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. It's fantastic to have you back, guys. It's Sean from SGT Report here. Guys, today we have a very important conversation with a returning guest. Before I introduce the guest, though, I do want to show some footage coming from Maui, the aftermath of these contrived fires, guys. Let me do a screen share because it is so deeply disturbing, this war that's being unleashed on all of us, all over the world, not just those who live in Maui. But how about those that lived in Paradise, California? Remember the Paradise fires? Well, the same result that happened in Paradise happened in Maui. With little warning, these people were forced into the ocean. I think hundreds of people are dead, still unaccounted for. And alloy metals in cars were melted. Do you know what temperature it takes to do that? Far, far higher temperatures than typically are associated with wildfires.
Can anyone truly explain how cars are incinerated in this type of way? That a natural fire can literally cremate every single thing in its supposed path. I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I'm genuinely asking a question to anyone that has any kind of knowledge or experience in firefighting or anything like these natural disasters. Is this a natural occurrence that this can possibly happen? Something that can look like an apocalypse came through, that something just literally incinerated everything in its path. Can someone please comment below?
Well, we can do better than that. I can introduce my guest right now. He's the founder of theserapeum.com. He's a great researcher and friend to truth. Dustin Nemos is back. Dustin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thank you for having me on.
What are your comments? Because I want to play a report here from Greg Reese in full in just 1 second, because Greg Reese will explain for that lovely woman exactly what's going on. I believe it's all part of a United Nations Agenda 2030 land grab, but it may even be more diabolical than that. Your comments on those Maui fires before we go to Greg Reese.
Sure. I mean, what kind of a wildfire? Like she's saying, there's a lot of things to it. The one that gave it away for me is an incinerated dog that was hit from the top down, that had sort of a caked on crust below it on the road, as though it had been hit with such force that it had sort of burnt, a silhouette on the ground. If you had pulled that dog off the ground, there would have been this crust outline of a dog. And this is kind of like you see those cooked dogs in China. I mean, it's fully incinerated. There's not a single hair left. This dog had no chance to run away. If this was a natural fire, did he just lay there and let it, you know, consume him? The island's not that small.
Did you see the footage of people that literally had to flee into the ocean? They floated in the ocean pretty much all night, watching their homes burn to the ground. And those were the lucky ones, Dustin, the ones that could actually make it to the water in time.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of the human bodies incinerated in that way, but I'm sure there were some people caught in there as well. I think that this is one of the, if not maybe the only installation in Antarctica that does this. I forget the name of it, but they have a very advanced system down there that's a radar and also a projection system. It can scan and it can also project the various signals. It's probably the most powerful telescope ever created. And they have all these little devices about the size of a football embedded in the ice every so often in this huge grid pattern all over the place that work with it. So it's really As I understand it, it's behind some of the massive earthquakes that we've had, the really weird, unusual ones. And, you know, now you're starting to see some of its fire applications. It's being used to create fires.
Well, the other thing I learned in a recent report is that there is a directed energy weapons facility right there on Maui. So let's go to this report from Greg Reese. Let's watch this together. And if you want to weigh in at any point, Dustin, please do, and I'll pause it, and then we'll pick it up again. Listen to this.
Survivors of the Maui fire say that they received no warning and that the flames appeared so quickly that escape was difficult. Everything was suddenly in flames, and many found refuge in the ocean for hours while their homes burned to the ground and into the same powdery ash footprint we've seen in recent years. So far, it is estimated that nearly 1,000 people have died. Locals are worried this includes hundreds of children who were home due to school being canceled that day. Several people are reporting that the government is not only doing little to help, but they are blocking local efforts to do so and are not allowing local donations through, and that they are blocking life-saving medicine because it isn't federally approved.
Denying people access to bring in supplies, just supplies for people to live.
The government withholding every single one of our donations because we are not a part of FEMA and Red Cross. So none of this is eligible for giving out. Tell me why. I have no freaking clue.
You know, I want to pause it there. I want to get your comments on that. The tyranny of the state is absolutely out of control from coast to coast, and evidently over in Hawaii, where my friend Marty Leeds used to live, and he fled because of the tyranny of the state during the COVID lockdowns. It's madness. You want to just comment briefly on the tyranny of the state putting itself between citizens who want to help each other? I can't think of anything more tyrannical, Dustin.
Well, it's one of those litmus tests, really, for normies versus researchers, because if you can't tell the government's at war with you by now, there may not be much hope left for you. For everyone else who understands, you know, the government is at war with us. You know, there are names, there are addresses, there are histories, there are lineages, there are all these things that go into the context here. If you really start to name who's behind this, that's when you really start to get centered and targeted and such. But yeah, it's obvious that they are at war with us. They are trying to kill their own people. They are trying in some cases to depopulate countries. In this case, I don't know, maybe it is just a land grab. If you say there's a facility next door, maybe they just wanted some beachfront property for some new homes. I mean, that is how this works. These guys have toys that they can play with and no empathy. So the toys get played with and someone benefits. Someone always benefits. And it's always the same tribe every single time.
We'll talk about that later in the interview. The same tribe every single time. You know, the New World Order tribe, the Committee of 300 tribe, the Council on Foreign Relations tribe, the Pilgrim Society, the World Economic Forum. So many of these tribes, I think, are controlled by the same tribe at the very top. And their goal is to extinguish humanity.
The people of Maui are on their own for now. And aside from the federal government's bureaucratic failure, they have good reason to be suspicious. Just like what we saw 5 years ago in Paradise, California, there was nothing normal about these fires. Within a day of burning, it was like a bomb went off.
When you see the full extent of the destruction of Lahaina, it will shock you. It does appear like a bomb and fire went off, if I may. And all of those buildings virtually are going to have to be rebuilt. It will be a new Lahaina.
Local residents have been reporting bright flashes of light. One was captured by a home security camera that appears to have been the start of the Olinda fire. Many people are saying that it was directed energy weapons. We know that most major governments already have them. And during the California fires, online weather maps recorded what looks like a laser from above, striking an area just before it bursts into flames. In his research, Dennis Mills discovered that the incendiary aluminum and barium nanodust from chemtrails is most likely fueling the ferocity of today's so-called super wildfires. And on the day before the Maui fires broke out, locals were reporting a heavy overcast from chemtrailing that they'd never seen before. It's also interesting to note that the Maui police chief was the incident commander for the Las Vegas mass shooting in 2017. Lahaina is considered to be a historic and sacred land. It was the capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii before it was taken by the United States. It's been occupied by Native Hawaiians ever since, who are defiantly opposed to the mainland outsiders who have been buying up land with no respect for local culture. Not just BlackRock and Vanguard, but billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg, who owns more land on Kauai than what the government of Kauai owns, and Oprah Winfrey, who has bought over 1,000 acres of land in Hawaii, including a new 870 acres in Maui she just bought this spring. In 2018, the Paradise wildfires broke out exactly where the United Nations have plans to somehow make off-limits to humans.
All right, we're going to pause it again there. United Nations Agenda 21 has been rebranded as UN Agenda 2030 because everything that you see in the map, if you guys look at the UN Agenda 2030 map, they want to return 80 to 90% of the United States to wildlands that are not inhabited by human beings. Dustin, can you comment just briefly on the insidious, nefarious, anti-human plan of United Nations Agenda 2031, chemtrails, or anything you'd like?
I mean, yeah, they definitely have this anti-human agenda. You could call it Malthusianism. That's kind of the official term for this philosophy of death. And it really has come to such a point. I mean, it's taught in the schools, it's joked about in the comedy, it's inferenced and referenced in the video games and the movie and the books and the pop culture. It's essentially understood by all thinking and, you know, upper intelligent people, according to them, that the world is overpopulated and therefore we have to get rid of some people. Now, this kind of satanic philosophy is actually not based in scientific method. It's not true. There's enough land, as people know, people have often heard this, in just the state of Texas to feed the whole world, and everybody could live there. So we're actually not dealing with a shortage of resources. We're not dealing with a crisis of resources. We're not dealing with an overpopulation. We're not dealing with like the CO2, our farts and breath are not killing us. All these things that they're telling us that are like an emergency and they have to be stopped, and therefore we have to end life in a large quantity. I mean, reduce us back to the Stone Age, turn off our air conditioning, turn off our heat, turn off our grandparents' life support. Everything that they want to do to us is not founded in science. Malthusianism is a philosophy, yes, but and it is widespread among the elite and everyone else in the college and, you know, the culture. It's in the zeitgeist. We have to undo that. We have to beat that, but it's not founded in science. We have plenty of food. We have plenty of resources. Our creator, Yahweh, God, Jesus's dad, told us go forth and multiply. He didn't say watch your numbers carefully and sort of do the math and make sure you have enough resources for future generations, because there's an abundance. All we have to do is apply a little bit of work to soil, water, and sun, and we can have more resources. It's that simple.
Yeah. You know, I like to tell folks when they ask about how we got here, I like to explain to folks that the banksters that run the international criminal cartel printing fiat printing presses have monetized everything. And now they want to monetize the air and the water. Of course, they've already monetized the energy, which they now want to restrict. The tyranny of UN Agenda 2030 is why the puppet president named Banana Joe just banned light bulbs. He wants to ban gas stoves. He's going after gas-powered generators. Ultimately, as you know, Dustin, they want to ban gas-powered automobiles. They don't want us driving cars. They want us in their smart cities where we never go outside of our zone, think Hunger Games, right? So that's the nefarious nature of this plan. So let's get back to Greg Reese now and watch the rest of this report.
And that same year, a report on wildfire prevention was published that was focused on the exact same areas in Maui where the fires just broke out.
All the historic downtown, all of it is demolished and all the houses gone. But those commercial big box stores are still there.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green has been putting the World Economic Forum's Great Reset agenda ahead of Hawaiian interests. Just weeks before the fire, he unveiled an emergency proclamation on housing that eliminates the traditional land use commission allowing the government more leeway to build as they see fit, such as building 15-minute smart cities run by artificial intelligence, just like they've been planning to do in Hawaii for years.
At some point, I will make a major donation after all of the smoke and ashes have settled here and we figure out what the rebuilding is going to look like. This is going to be a long and difficult process. You're going to see a lot of Phoenix stories rising from the ashes here.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, Dustin, boy, I got to tell you, that woman, Oprah Winfrey, really the face of the silk-gloved New World Order. Do you recall when she met in New York City with people like Ted Turner, George Soros, and other depopulation advocates, people like Bill Gates? And they met in New York City undercover. What they discussed was secret, and they called themselves the Good Club. I believe Warren Buffett was there as well. But Oprah Winfrey, she's part of the Good Club. She met with eugenicists in New York City about a decade ago. It was mainstream media news. What they talked about was secret. But Dustin, I can tell you, what they talked about was depopulation.
I agree. Yeah. I kind of laughed earlier when you said banana, Joe. I've been gardening and I put in a bunch of banana trees. And I've been craving bananas ever since. I've never heard that particular nickname for him. But yeah, they are anti-human. And they have this plan. They have a plan. It's talked about by them. It's talked about by all of the UN participants. They have meetings about it. They basically agreed to depopulation. I forget. I think it was 1968, but I could be off a few years at some UN convention. The video is on thesarahpayam.com somewhere. But we basically have all of the evidence that they are out to get us indeed. So, what do you do with that? Do you keep fighting the good game at the federal political level? I don't know. Locally, sure. I know that from reading the scriptures and you know, I was an atheist for most of my life, but I've studied prophecy and I know it always comes true. So reading the scriptures, we know God wins in the end. And we know that some pretty specific things are going on in America, which, by the way, many people may not have heard this. I've recently discovered this. America was prophesized in the Bible with a specific date, and it all came out to pass exactly on that date. All of these things are basically written about in the end times aspects of scripture. So kind of with that context built up, and I can show you the image if you want, that kind of I made to prove that. It's not pretty, but it does the math. But basically, with all that context, we know that they fail. This plan of theirs to go biblically, I'm going to speak biblically in terms of prophetic terms here. People may understand that, or they may hear some keywords. There's a term in the Bible when God is speaking to the enemy, Gog, essentially. I think it's in Ezekiel, where he talks about the land of unwalled villages. That's pretty much only America. I think Australia might count too, but pretty much every other country in the world has at least one city that has a wall. America has no walls. We don't have walled villages here. This was a land of such abundance and blessing and freedom and peace that we didn't need them. People didn't lock their doors. So there's this enemy that comes against the land of unwalled villages, which is us and the West as a whole, and they fail at the end. And I think people should look forward to that point. And I think we should look forward to, honestly, prophecy is the only good thing that we have to look forward to. Everything else looks negative. I mean, they think that they've won.
Well, they're sure behaving like they're beyond the reach of justice. They're beyond the reach of the people. They're acting with absolute impunity, and they're carrying out the most dastardly plan that I've ever imagined in human history. And it's the plan to depopulate the world and take control of absolutely every resource under the sun. And they're not going to get away with it. God will win in the end. We the people, it's our job to wake up our brethren so that people will fight back, so people will take their power, retain their power. But when they do tricks as dirty as what they just did in Maui, it's very, very difficult to fight back. So just a couple of more clips, because I really want to round out this part of the conversation so that people fully understand what's going on. The clip I'm going to play here is from ex-Pfizer executive Michael Yeadon, who blew the whistle on the COVID vaccine. He calls it a bioweapon because that's what it is. Also part of that COVID-19 Great Reset Depop plan. So let's play this clip from Michael Yeadon. Then we're going to go back to Maui, and I'm going to show you what's happening now to those folks who have lost their homes. They ain't getting them back. They're going to be kicked off their land.
Unfortunately, I think this is just the beginning So I've learned when people tell you what they're going to do, don't ignore them. So when the UN and Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab tell you that they've got a UN 2030 plan with sustainable development goals, I think there are 17 or 21 of them, and every one of them says, you won't be traveling, you won't have a private car, we won't be using international shipping to move goods around, there won't be any flights except military or perhaps very rich people, you won't own anything and you'll be happy, you probably won't live in your own house, you'll be using much less energy for everything, including heating, manufactured goods, and so on. When they tell you that, you should assume that they're serious about it. And so I think COVID has been part one of a multi-act play that's going to take 10 years that will destroy the liberal democracies.
All right, so that's Michael Yeadon telling y'all what's going to happen. Klaus Schwab wrote about it in his book, The Great Reset. And now back to Maui, because here's what's happening to the folks whose homes were burned down by these directed energy weapons and these contrived fires.
Not that long ago, Hawaiian government officials in the areas that were just affected by the wildfires passed a law saying that that land could not be redistricted for new building permits unless some sort or some type of a serious natural disaster occurred. Serious natural disaster occurred. And what did we have happen through those three districts of very sacred land to the Hawaiians? A very serious natural disaster. I'm not going to get into space lasers and all of that shit, but people called their insurance companies after the fire, and the insurance companies, for the first time, informed them that there was zoning infractions on their land, so they would not honor their insurance policies. And within 24 hours of these people losing their homes, the same developers who the Hawaiian elders fought in court to have that law passed are already calling these people and making them offers for their homes. This is what happens when the government sticks their fingers in everything. The government's in the insurance industry, and they're talking to people who are paying for their campaigns, which are the buyers of this land. And they say to these people, hey, let us know when they call you to get their insurance claims, and let us know when you deny them, so we can then give them a call right away and scoop in and swoop in and be the heroes.
So that's what's going on. And it's all part of the BlackRock Vanguard plan to control everything. They want a central bank digital currency. They all want us chipped, tracked, and traced because they view us as chattel. Literally cattle in human form. They call us chattel. We're back at therapium.com. Dustin, you know, I love having you on, and you're a gamer, so you didn't know where we were going today. I really wanted to dedicate the first half of the show to what's going on in Maui because it is a cautionary tale for everybody else in the United States to wake the heck up and start taking action locally. Take your local government back first. Then hopefully in 2024, we don't have another stolen election. Maybe we can take this criminal federal government back and return it to the people and make it a republic once again. TheSarahPM.com. I'm going to let you go wherever you want from here, Dustin.
Sure, brother. I can say there's no political solution here. There's going to be a violent physical revolution at some point. They're coming for our children. I'm not encouraging it, of course. You can kick in my door if you want. I'm already dying. But the point is, it's coming. God has written it. It's in Obadiah 18. Not a single one of that tribe will survive what's coming because they have basically, it's in the Exodus. If you look at the book of the entire story of the Exodus in the Bible, if you look into the context of what was happening to the actual Israelites, not the Jews of today who pretend to be, but the people of Israel in the Bible were being essentially ethnically cleansed. They were enslaved already, but the Egyptians feared their numbers. They feared their blessings. They were a little envious, and they decided to breed them out after they had enslaved them by killing off all of the little boys, essentially, throwing them to the alligators and such. This story is recorded in some of the story of Moses. And this was widespread. Moses survived this ethnic cleansing of all of the little boys of an entire people group. And God reacted, of course, as we all know, and that involved partly one of the plagues was killing the sons of Egypt, the firstborn sons of Egypt, as a retaliation. God protects his people, and this is coming. There's a lot of stuff that has to play out because it was written in prophecy first, but he is watching. I want people to know that. And, you know, if you study the prophecy, if you study the sciences, if you study how much they hate it, if you study the history or the suppression, the Bible checks out, the prophecies check out, and God wins in the end. So vengeance is his, but part of that is, you know, the story plays out where he wakes his people up and they rise up and there is a massive rebellion. That is part of how the end plays out. And that is coming, obviously.
So what we're looking at here, and I know you're not responsible for having created this. I think it's kind of a piece of art, though. It's a work of art. It's the history.
Yeah.
It encompasses everything that we're up against, and it goes all the way back to the biblical Canaanites, doesn't it?
Yes, even before then. That's post-flood, really. In the pre-flood world, Genesis 6, we talk about the Nephilim, the giants that were on the earth in those days and after, and how they basically got so big, they started to eat everything around them and, you know, all consume all the produce of man and then turn on man. They were basically tyrants, cannibals, and demonic god kings. That's how it played out, you know, worst case. They were the gods of ancient legend and mythology. These things were real. And they had their own little kingdoms. They enslaved their own little groups of people. And they had their own histories, and that's where we get a lot of our various stories, which all share the same flood. They all share the same wisdom serpents. They all share basically a lot of the same details. Just the names are different. The locations sometimes are a little different, and the perspectives are obviously that of a demon giant versus the Hebrew Christian Bible. But otherwise, it's the same story. All of the mythologies of mankind, all of them basically go back to that same story. And that's really a slap in the face with some cold water. If you think about how you thought history was complicated and all of these different mythologies, but they're basically just multiple personalities of the same history.
You know, so in the middle of that chart we were just looking at is the Vatican. Do you want to talk about the significance of the Vatican and its role in today's society? Because I think much as the Jewish religion has been hijacked to protect those that own the printing presses, so you can never criticize them, the Catholic religion has largely been hijacked by a pope who I believe is satanic at his core, and he certainly is in support of this entire New World Order depopulation agenda.
Sure. I have something to offend everyone of every background, some sort of fact. So I actually have studied this in depth, not only from the prophetic fulfillment of the prophecy of the Whore of Babylon. If you're familiar with that, there's some pretty specific details, like she'll sit on seven mountains. She'll have a golden cup. She'll have the colors of purple and gold. There's some very specific things that only apply fully to the Catholic Church. And a lot of people think it went wrong at some point. And, you know, the Freemasons or the Jews infiltrated and took over. And there is some degree to that of truth. The Freemasons were at war. To a degree, sort of a controlled dialectic war against Catholic people, not the Pope itself. And the left certainly did try to take over the political side of, you know, they schemed to take over the political world of Roman Catholicism of today. But honestly, it started out corrupt. There was no time ever in which there was a authority to be a Pope. There's no authority given to the Pope to be the Pope. He has zero claim to it. I mean, there's this part in the Bible where they say that Peter was the rock and Jesus says that that's the rock I'll build my church on, but that they've basically mistranslated. Peter was not the rock. Jesus is the rock, as we see numerous times in scripture with multiple witnesses. Petros means piece of rock. So Peter was a piece of that rock, and that's all. And they basically have spun that into an imperial-like claim for a false Jesus standing in the seat of God. I mean, that's basically what the Pope is. He is a stand-in, a vicar of Jesus, a substitute of Jesus. And they've basically never had good doctrine. The entire Catholic Church started out. First, Rome was killing all the Christians, throwing them into the Colosseum with the lions. And then they, under Constantine, finally legalized Christianity 300 AD, but monopolized it. By 380 AD, if you're not part of their Eastern Nicene form of Christianity, you'll be killed. You'll be burnt or tortured or whatever. And for the rest of history, up into the Inquisitions being outlawed, hundreds of thousands of years later, you finally see the end of Rome killing Christians outright for studying the Bible. So at no point was Catholicism ever actual Christianity. And I don't mean any offense to lay Catholics. They don't know. But the Emperor of Rome, who was behind the persecution of Christians, suddenly making a political decision to monopolize his growing enemy and therefore paganize it and consume it from within, that was a political strategy, and it worked very well. Christians at the time actually regretted the legalization and spoke against the legalization of Christianity in Rome, because when the persecution was no longer present, everybody wanted to join for politics, you know? And that was essentially what happened. There's nothing Christian about Catholicism at all.
Well, next, I'd like you to comment, if you would, on Washington, D.C., the Den of Vipers, the bankrupt U.S. corporation, which Banana Joe sits atop now as the quote-unquote president. Now, sure. Unfortunately, the U.S. federal government still wields a heck of a lot of power, and Banana Joe, through his dictates, wants to take away all our access to energy and get us all on their E-plan, where nobody will be able to afford a car and we'll all live in their 15-minute hellhole cities. Can you comment a little bit on Washington, D.C., the Den of Vipers, and how we defeat this thing?
You might want to get a strong goat that you can milk, and you throw a bag over both sides to basically hold your belongings. That's what's coming. Otherwise, you better get ready to pack your bags and move into that tiny little closet they're going to give you. Maybe just one bag. You might not be allowed to bring two. And hopefully you'll be allowed to keep your children next door in the other closet. That's what's coming, I think. And basically, you know, the banksters, the system, every single aspect of it is Jewish. Look at any political party, look at any evil, organized evil on earth today or over history for the last 5,990 years, essentially, which is all of human history. It has basically been the Jews killing everyone and persecuting and enslaving everyone, torturing everyone, and trying to scheme to come to power when they were not. You know, people talk about things like adrenochrome. They've been kicked out of 109 countries for adrenochrome by the courts, by the monarchs, after being found guilty in courts of law. They have been kicked out. So, you know, there is this link between them and everything, banksters included. And they have in their religion and in their documents and in their historical leaders' documents and words, a plan to wipe out all white Christians and then rule over the brown mixed and yellow and brown peoples, basically. That's their plan. And the reason for that is that the real Israelites of the Bible were white, and they hate it, and they have stolen our identity, used it against us, and now they're trying to wipe us out.
Let me ask you something. So Archbishop Vigano warned President Trump while he was still president in an open letter to President Trump. He warned Trump about what he called the children of darkness. Do you think the people you just described are the children of darkness? Is that who Vigano was talking about?
Yeah, I can share a screen with you if you don't mind. I'm going to pull up an image and just share it with you. And it's more of a confession. So let me use their own words, if you don't mind here. So this is the image. I found this at random. I don't know who this is. I think it's on Twitter, but I agree with him. This is obviously a Jewish person speaking about Jews. His name is Michael Cohen. Cohen's kind of a trigger name in the Jewish community, sort of a false priestly high class family. There is no bigger lie told about us Ashkenazim than we are Europeans. We are the most distinct of all races. We are not even of the human race, let alone Europeans. We are utterly unique. Our features only blend with humans. Our facial features and proportions infinitely more perfect. We are Anunnakim and Nephilim, and our DNA is of the gods. We have extrasensory perception, heightened awareness, and increased sentience. We cannot be defeated by Gentiles any more than humans can be by other animals. And I think you guys deep in your hearts know it, and it drives you mad. Now, I agree with most of what he's saying here. Now, obviously, he is not the actual tribe of Israel. They are cousins mixed with giant DNA. The Edomites mixed with the Canaanites, and the Canaanites were giant demons. That's where you get Goliath. That's where you get King of Og. That's where you get all the pre-flood monsters that were flooded in the times of Noah, when all flesh became corrupted, according to God. And these giants survived. We can go into the details if you want, basically through Ham, Noah's son, through his wife. And then bam, you've got the giants back in the post-flood world. That's where you get giants. That's where you get Goliath and stuff. And then these giants got smaller and smaller, but they kept, as he puts it, blending with humans until they're just not giant anymore, but they still look weird. They're not human. He's right. They're not human. They may have extrasensory perception. They may actually have a link directly into the spiritual world. Certainly they believe that they do when they use child's blood in rituals to demons. That's how their rituals work.
Yep.
They do not have increased sentience in the way that he's probably thinking. Their IQ is not actually higher than ours anymore. But historically, they had a 30% higher brain capacity in a very much elongated skull. I can show you some of the elongated skull ancient Jews as well, if you like. But I'm agreeing with this guy, and I think it's anti-Hamitic, not Semitic, but Hamitic, for us to disagree with him. So, I mean, he's right. They're not human, and they know it. And people are starting to catch on.
Yeah, and the thing I want to say here, and just the one comment I want to make, and then you can continue, is that if what he's saying is true, or if they just all believe that it's true, it really does help explain their absolute ruthlessness towards humanity, towards Gentiles, towards the people of Maui, towards the people of Paradise in Paradise, California, with those fires, towards all of us as it pertains to open borders, child sex trafficking, 80,000 children missing under Banana Joe's rule, coming across, being trafficked from Mexico and then to God knows where. It speaks to their absolute ruthlessness, Dustin, as it pertains to the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine that's killing people, maiming people all over planet Earth, and the mainstream horror media remains silent. That slide you just showed, in my opinion, at least helps explain for me their absolute ruthlessness.
Yeah, and even their anti-racism activists hate white people. And only white nations are under the siege of all of this forced immigration, forced abortion, forced cultural destruction, forced suicide in every way that you can imagine. First with degradation, first with shame, and then with death. That is the plan. They hate us. They want to destroy us at a spiritual level. We don't have to go far for evidence for that, but very few people have the courage to say the J word. And I'm dying. They can't do much to me. I want to be one of those people. I want to at least wake up the folks who don't have that, you know, haven't made that last connection yet. They see all of the evil laid out before them, and they don't know the central source. They don't know the common denominator is the J word. Look at what happened to anyone who speaks out against them. The richest black man in the world, Kanye West, mentioned that he might criticize some Jews the next day, and he was no longer the richest black man. He no longer had a platform. That is their power. If you want to know who rules over you, you know what to do. Find out who you're not allowed to criticize. And there's only one group of people that you're not allowed to criticize.
Can I ask you something else? You've said now twice on the show here that you're dying, and I know that you've had heart trouble. So we'll pray for you. Can you explain to us what your situation is currently? And I want to support you. I know the audience is very supportive. I know you have your red pill products. Can you please tell us how we can support you, if there's any way at all to support your work and support you?
Sure. Thank you, Sean. Basically, my wife and I, we've been dealing with this issue for years of just stress and heart. And, you know, certain situations obviously were aggravated, like stress and stuff. But I've noticed that even just carrying a milk jug in my left arm is enough to make me almost pass out sometimes. There's an impingement somewhere, and I've gone through thousands of dollars. I've spent my savings on trying to figure out what it is with all the scans that I don't have access to at home, going to all the doctors. I don't trust what they say usually, but I'm trying to get some sort of information from the scans. And all we can really find is that there's an impingement. And all I know is that it's getting worse. It made me pass out and have a seizure one time before I could get to the next room, almost before I could get to the next room to tell my wife, just from stretching back in my chair. So I don't know how much time I have left. And it's getting, you know, markedly and, you know, it's just consistently worse, not too much at once, but it is getting worse. And it's been about a year and a half since that time. So, you know, I don't know what Yahweh has in store for me. I'm not really afraid of dying. I've just got some kids and a big message. And that's all I really have left to do. And I've got a incredible garden. With that said, if you want to support me, yeah, I mean, MimosNewsNetwork.com has a donate button. It's very much appreciated because we're obviously cut off from the banking system almost entirely. And, you know, we do have the products. We have some great health and wellness products at redpillliving.com, Detox the Deep State. My favorite one is Sleepy Joe. It's an all natural sleep formula.
Yeah.
No side effects. And, you know, we have some great gourmet and organic coffee. I appreciate you letting me plug on your show.
Yeah, no, actually, I have a bottle of your Sleepy Joe, and it does work great. You know, and by the way, guys, just keep in mind before we part ways with Dustin that there's a guy, you remember that 17th letter of the alphabet?
Yeah.
Who always said, follow the bloodlines. Well, there's a guy on CNN. His name is Anderson Cooper. He's part of the Vanderbilt Biltmore Mansion bloodline. And he makes $12 million a year to gaslight the American people. Now, according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., it has been alleged by RFK Jr. that Anderson Cooper also received millions and millions of dollars to promote the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. So the enemies of humanity, if you follow the bloodlines, are pretty easy to keep an eye on and figure out who they are. Look no further than Zbigniew Brzezinski's daughter, Mika, over at MSNBC. My point is this. If truth tellers who have stuck their neck out for us time and time again, trying to tell the truth to the masses, people like Dustin Nemos, need a little bit of help, I think it's on all of us to try to help out. So NemosNewsNetwork.com, please hit the donut button. Please hit the donut button. No, please hit the donate button and pitch in $5 or $10. You know, if hundreds of us did that, it could make a real impact for Dustin and his family. Dustin, before we part ways, I want to just call attention to therapium.com, your excellent resource for research here. And let's just read this from George Orwell, because it's exactly what's going on. It's exactly what these people want to do. Everything is upside down. The author of Logos Rising, E. Michael Jones, has called hell the absence of logic. Well, George Orwell told us what they were going to do in his book 1984, and I quote, every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except as an endless present in which the party, and I would say the state, is always right. George Orwell, 1984. Friends, if you just look back at pictures from the 1800s of the beautiful buildings that we used to have that have been replaced by monstrosities, stripped of their beauty and art and elegance and grace, well, you understand that this plan that Orwell wrote about has been in play for much, much longer, far before he ever wrote those words. Dustin, I'll give you the final comment as we part ways, and I want to thank you again today so much for your time.
Well, you honor me, Sean. I really appreciate you and everything that you do as well. You're one of the very few good ones out there. I hope people find my work to be of value. I built this archive for my children, mainly. I built this so that they would know the real history of the world, no matter what happens to me. And I've basically been desperately backing it up. And, you know, I started to warn people about some of this stuff that I found. It's really incredible, some of these things, although incredible does not mean untrue. I've been winning debates on these things. I'm actually undefeated in debates on some of these really unbelievable topics, frankly. Like, for example, I was talking about the Jews being Nephilim on your show tonight. I was debating with multiple scholarly, gray-bearded Jewish gentlemen, including one who's like a renowned rabbinical scholar, about the topic of are Jews demons, and they ran away. I mean, one of them ran away, and the other one's still trying to debate me on it, having me back on his show. So I, you know, this is how the debate works when you stand firm on the truth, although it's an incredible truth. We win the debate. They flee the truth.
Guys, therapium.com. I will leave the link below. And if you want to support Dustin, honestly, it would mean the world to him and his family if you just chipped in $5. Did you get $5 worth of value out of this conversation? If so, head over to NemosNewsNetwork.com, hit the donate button, and pitch in. Pay it forward. Pay it forward, friends. That's all any of us can do, is try to support each other and get the truth out. Dustin Nemos has been our guest. Dustin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean, and everyone.
Friends, I want to thank you all so very much for tuning in. And remember, Archbishop Vigano did warn President Donald J. Trump about the children of darkness. And now what do we see? Trump being indicted by these children of darkness at every turn for nothing at all, while puppet Banana Joe and his family commit all level of treason against we the people. We certainly do live in an upside down world. And if you want the antidote to all of their lies on a daily basis, please visit us directly at my three websites, thephaser.com, thelibertymill.com, and sgtreport.com. Those are antidotes to corporate propaganda and all of those mockingbird mainstream media lies. May God truly bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
Obama was pimping kids very clearly, but Pedo Joe, as I call him, and Joe's pedos are 1,000 times worse, because now they're putting these kids into hotels from San Diego to New York. And there's one thing to be in a fenced-in open enclosure where you can see what's going on. There's another thing to put children into hotel rooms, and that's really just child brothels coming home to the United States.